Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Oh, can you just clap your hands and celebrate the Lord, knowing that He will do it again for you. Hallelujah. Tell three people God will do it again. He will come through for you. Don't you know that God never changes? Tell the person, you may not know how, you may not know when, but He will do it again. I need some people who believe this prophetic message to clap and bless the name of Jesus. He will do it again. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning. Thank You for the assurance and the comfort and the hope that have been generated in our hearts this morning through the ministration in song, assuring us and confirming Your word that You never change, You're always the same, and that You will do it again and You will come through for Your people. We do not have anybody else but You. We have no one else to turn to but You alone. And Father, as we fix our eyes on You, we know that You will come through for us. And this morning, thank You for another opportunity to hear Your word. You've made us to understand that all scripture is given by Your inspiration. If that is so, then it means that what we are about to hear is Your word directly to us. I pray for everyone listening to me that may we all hear and listen well to what Your Spirit has for us. And beyond all of that, may we purpose to apply the word to our lives. Thank You for Your presence here, Lord. Thank You for the presence of Your angels. And thank You that our lives will not be the same after this service. In Jesus' mighty name, let the people of God say amen. Give Jesus another round of applause, and you may be seated. I did inform you that this month of July is our month of youth mentorship and renewal. Amen. And for the first two Sundays in July, you can say that what I shared with you was to bring renewal, that don't let your dreams die. Amen. All right. And during the times of impartation, I have been sharing on mentorship. All right. And this morning, I want to share a message that is very important in line with our theme for the month. And I need you to listen very carefully to me, because I'm expecting that after this service, there will be a revolution. Somebody say a revolution. Amen. In our lives. And so I'm going to share with you influencing the next generation positively. Influencing the next generation positively. You know how we do it. I always like to give definitions so that you know clearly what we are talking about. Now, when we say a generation, we are talking about a group of people who are born around the same period and are at a similar stage of life. Would you want me to take it again? A generation is a group of people who are born around the same period and are at a similar stage of life. So if I use myself as an example, my generation is made up of all those who are about 45 to 70 years old. That's my generation. The next generation, the immediate next generation after my generation, are those who are 20 to 45 years old. All right, 20 to 45. So that's the immediate next generation. And then the generation after that are those who are roughly 0 to 25 years old. Okay, so you can see different generations here, can't you? All right. I'm sure you've heard terms like Generation Z, Generation Alpha. Usually, if we say Generation Z, we are talking about those who are between the ages of 14 and 29. And then Generation Alpha are those who today are the ages of 0 to 13. Okay, so these are different terms that we can talk about with respect to generations. But you know, when you look at the Bible, when it talks about a generation, we are talking about people living during a particular period of history. And then the children who come after them, that's also another generation. So if we look at ourselves and we are trying to relate this to the biblical definition of a generation, in a certain sense, those of us here are one generation, and all those who will come after us is another generation. Amen. Positive influence is helping someone become better than they were before because of your words, your example, your encouragement, and your guidance. Positive influence is helping someone become better than they were before because of your words, your example, your encouragement, and your guidance. So then, if we put everything together, influencing the next generation positively means intentionally helping younger people, become godly, wise, responsible, and fruitful through our example, our words, and our care. Influencing the next generation positively means intentionally helping younger people become godly, wise, responsible, and fruitful through our example, our words, and our care. Have I been able to explain to you what influencing the next generation positively is about? Do you understand it? All right, that's fine. So let's go into the Word of God. Turn with me to Psalms 145. Psalms 145, reading from verse 1 to 4. It says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. Verse 2. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Can you read verse 4 with me? Ready, go. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Let's read it one more time. Again, ready, go. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Amen. Judges chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. Judges 2, verse 7 to 10. So the Bible says, and the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him. those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. So that's a generation, right? Okay. Verse 8, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Would you like to live long till you are 110 and beyond? What will you be doing? All your mates should have been dead and gone. And let me tell you something. Don't just want to live long for living long's sake. If you are living long, it must be a good, satisfying, healthy life. But if you live long and every morning we have to carry you and come and put you in the sun to get some vitamin D, you can't bathe yourself. When you have to use the watch, or we have to fix diapers on your Mpocho, I don't think that that's a good idea. Or you just want to live long. Oh. Personally, I don't want to live too long that I'll become a burden to those around me. I don't want that. But anyway, that's another message for another day. I'm assuming Pomohansen, Papa. Verse 9. They buried him in the land he had been allocated at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Now, notice verse 10. After that generation died, that means Joshua and those who were with him, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Selah. That means reflect on that. And I read verse 10 again. After that generation died, one generation, another generation, the next one, grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. In fact, add verse 11. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. So there was one generation that really knew the Lord and served him and were very devoted to God. But unfortunately, another generation came up who did not know the Lord, and instead they did a lot of evil in the Lord's sight, including sacrificing their own children to idols, and they served the images of Baal. I'll have you understand, my friends, that as part of God's design for society and for family, and then also for church, he's expecting that each generation should positively influence the next. Am I communicating? Yeah. That's how God has designed things. For the society, for family, for the church. That each generation should positively influence the next. And you can see that pattern clearly spelled out in the Bible. You will not fail to see it. That each generation is supposed to intentionally mentor and positively influence the next one, so that they can carry God's purposes forward. And let me say at this point that, you see, anytime we talk about God's purposes, immediately your mind goes to church things alone. But I want you to understand that even in your secular work, your finances, your marriage, family life, and all of that, God has purposes for all of these areas of your life. And he's expecting that if there's a generation today, that generation must intentionally, it's not accidental, must intentionally mentor the next generation and positively influence them so that they can carry God's purposes forward. So, in the very first scripture that we read, verse 4 of Psalms 145, We see this expectation of God spelt out there. He says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. So today's generation is supposed to transmit certain things to the generation after. And then that generation is supposed to also do the same thing. So that from generation to generation, there is a positive influence being imparted on each generation so that they can do well and so that they can succeed. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 78 verse 1 to 8. Here also, you see the same idea being talked about concerning God's expectation that each generation should positively influence the next one. So let's read it from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Now take note of that. Which we have heard and known. How did we get to hear and know? So the generation before influenced them. That's how come they knew. Next verse. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. He did what? Commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they in turn may arise and declare them to their children. So it is a transgeneration thing. One generation passing it on to the next, and then the next passing it on to the next. And that cycle must not be broken. We must see a cycle of positive influence from generation to generation. Verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And then verse 8, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. So now hear me. You know, my friends, what one generation does or fails to do has serious consequences for the next one. Think about it. What one generation does or fails to do has serious and profound consequences on the next one. So if your parents did not positively influence you, it will have consequences on your future. And if you also do not positively influence the children that God has given to you, it is going to have profound consequences on their destiny. And that is what we saw in the scripture we read in Judges chapter 2. That there was a generation, Joshua's generation, who knew the Lord and they served the Lord. But a generation that came after them did not know the Lord and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why? Because there was a gap. There was a failure along the line. One generation failed to pass on a certain culture, a certain knowledge of God, a certain understanding of God to the next generation. So what did we end up with? A generation that did not know the Lord. And that served idols. And that's why I'm explaining to you that every generation leaves something behind. Every generation. It's just that a generation can leave something positive or something negative. But without fail, every single generation leaves something behind, either positive or negative. So they may leave faith or unbelief. They may leave wisdom or ignorance. They may leave discipline or carelessness. They may leave prosperity or poverty. Every generation leaves something behind. I'm talking about influencing the next generation positively. And whatever we leave behind, either positive or negative, that generation will have to live with the results of what the previous generation left behind. It's a very serious thing we are talking about here. And what I'm saying is true in all contexts. Society, church, family. Family. What are we leaving behind? What are we imparting to the children that God has given to us? And not just that. You see, as you move through life, there are people that God will bring your way deliberately for you to influence. You may have a nephew or a niece coming to live with you. You may have some young people in the community where you work. You may be a teacher. You have students that you are teaching. You may be a business owner. You've employed people. All these people I have mentioned are people that God has deliberately brought your way and connected to you. And he has an expectation that you should influence them positively. Can I have an amen from somebody? I'm going to show you different areas where this thing about influencing the next generation positively or negatively is so critical. That's all I'm going to do today. And let's see where we will get to. Now, let's start with an area like education. Education. You know, there are some parents who did not go to school. Or if they did, it was very little. But you find out that they have children who have done well. They are doctors, they are lawyers, they are pastors, engineers, teachers, farmers, fashion designers, and all of that. But the parents did not have the benefit of going to school, but they decided to change the story. So what they did was that they made a lot of sacrifices so that what they did not have, the opportunities they did not have, their children will have. I'm talking about positively influencing the next generation. Because I've been to different graduation ceremonies. And sometimes when you look at people taking pictures with their parents, when you look at the man standing there and the woman standing there, immediately you know that they've come from very, 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 very far. Hey. But you see, they've made sacrifices which have resulted in their children doing well and being given an advantage in life. But there are some parents who say that me, the school, I no go some. So I don't understand why I have to pump a lot of money into your education. I can't do that. So they don't invest in their children. There are some parents that don't care about those things at all. They just watch the children. And in fact, they are the ones who tell them that if you have gone small, it's okay. If you have gone small, it's okay. Can I help your mother sell cocoa and kose? Yeah. By the streets of Ashaman. We can't just use the little money that we have. Look, sometimes to be able to take care of your children and get them very far in life, you got to make sacrifices. Am I speaking to somebody today? So what it means is that one generation's sacrifice becomes the next generation's opportunity. That's what it is. One generation's sacrifice, the sacrifice that this generation makes, will create opportunity for the next one. I'm talking about influencing the next generation positively. Let's take it further. Faith, or to do with the gospel. Now, how did the gospel of Jesus Christ come to us? Through a lot of sacrifice. We had some of the first Christians coming to Africa. We also had missionaries coming in from North America and from Europe. We also have African Christians, some of the people who were saved in those times, they passed on the thing and carried on the missionary work to other parts of Africa. Mission schools, mission hospitals, African-led churches, all worked together to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in Africa. Let's even just limit it to Ghana. We had missionaries coming in from all over. We had Ghanaians who received the gospel, became saved, and they also, look, a lot of the work that was done to let the gospel reach, you know, many parts of Ghana was actually done by the converts of these missionaries. Because many of these missionaries, they didn't live long. But you see, they had sense enough to positively impact the people they came to meet. And they recognized that the best chance for the gospel to spread through Ghana was if the indigents embrace it, they take the baton and run with it. Question. When you and I are no longer there, I want you to imagine 20 years after our exit, what state would the church be in? Because the earlier generation positively influenced us. That's why you are saved. That's why you are in church today. And I'm asking that we too, our generation, what are we passing on? What are we transmitting? How are we intentionally mentoring the younger ones, the next generation, so that they would also run with this same gospel of Jesus Christ and with the same faith? Think about it. Let's talk about family values. So I'm just drawing your attention to different areas where one generation can influence the next. And remember, it can either be positive or negative. Do you know that children normally practice what they see? And so if they grow up in a home or in a family where they are taught honesty, respect, discipline, honoring God and the things of God, respecting authority, going to church, serving in the house of God. Some of us grew up in homes where you can't say that you won't go to church. You can't say that you won't go to church. You go to church. You will go. Homes where you were told that every day there's something you have to do in the house. Daily chores. There are things to do. That's the kind of home we grew up in. We grew up in homes where values of hard work were instilled in us. Some people grew up in homes where prayer was something that every single day, I was at a birthday party of an 80-year-old woman, and when her children, you know, came to give their speech about their mother, their tribute to their mother, they said, every morning without fail, 4:30 a.m., she will wake them up. They will be angry, they will be annoyed, they will be bored, but a very quiet time. Yeah. And as I speak to you, every one of her children, she had 3 daughters and 1 son, are very serious about the things of God and are involved in ministry in one direction or the other. But that's the value that their mother instilled in them. And she was a single parent. Single parent. Reading. Reading. Do you know why I don't like reading? Because the house where you grow up in, even the books some no day. But there used to be a time when you go to a lot of homes, you will see libraries of books. Libraries of books. How did I develop this habit of reading and all of that? I picked it up very early when I was little because my home was full of books. At the season of my, I had finished reading virtually every book in the house. So at the point I started reading encyclopedia. Yeah. There are some books that I read more than 20 times. And it was my practice, even when I'm eating. There are things that I don't do without reading. If I'm eating, I have my food, I have my water, and I have a book. I read the Meti One Blow. And if it's or trauma, you drink some water. I never rush through eating. Today I rush, but then I don't. And even if I, look, if you live with me and there's just one toilet in the house, Ewu, pray that when I go there, or pray that when I go there, you will never have an emergency. Because me nyambe. Always reading something there. Always. Always. Where did I pick that thing up? Because my home had a lot of books. Not all my siblings picked it up. But there's a number of us picked it up. It was just something that was handed over to us. Avoiding waste. It's a value that is passed on. Where you are taught, we don't waste food. We don't waste. Look, one of the things that really affects me is when I see food being wasted. Because I know hunger before. I don't like it. You can ask the people I live with how upset I get when I realize that food is being wasted. There are times that I've told mommy that don't do any cooking. Let's finish eating up the food in the fridge. Because why should there be food in the fridge for more than 3 months? It must be eating. It must be eating. We learn family values of contentment. To be content. Whatever you have, be content with it. Look, these things, they don't just drop from the sky. They are passed on. They are transmitted from one generation to another generation. But you see, if these values, family values, I call them, are not transmitted to the next generation, and all they see is abuse, violence, drunkenness, irresponsibility, those things will become a normal for them. And they will grow up with it. I'm telling you something. So they grow up in a house where there's a lot of abuse, both verbal and physical. every day is like a Tom and Jerry cartoon script being acted out. Either father is chasing mother or mother is chasing father. Beatings. It's not easy. And whilst all these things are going on, the children are there. The children are there. One day I had a misunderstanding with mommy, and we were both very angry. So we were talking. And when you're angry, sometimes you say stupid things. We were at a galout. We were at it. Then this is my little girl. I don't remember how old she was, but she was just a little girl. She said, "Mommy, Daddy, what are you doing?" That thing, I never forgot it. I don't know whether she remembers. So, it taught me a lesson. That at least this thing, you have to be very careful about it. How we run wild in front of the children and we don't care. I spent a lot of hours on Friday and yesterday. That's why I couldn't be here with you for the rehearsal. Where was I? At the police station. Why was I at the police station? Because I got an SOS call that one of my neighbors had beaten his wife. And the wife had gone to report, and it's not the first time. So when she went to the police station and went to report, the police people said that this time we have to detain their husband. So why was I called to come and bail? Usually, as a pastor, I don't go and bail people because it was our seminar. I went there, went to talk, tried to negotiate everything. The police woman, this is Dovsu, usually the women there, they are matter hard. Pa, 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 pa. She said, "No way." And she explained to me that every time she comes to report, we let him go. Every time we don't, and then she keeps coming back that we are not doing anything about the situation. And said, "That is how it happens. So one day, you're just left with the cops." And say, we have to process them for court. For court to decide. If they don't like the marriage, go your separate way. I pleaded because it was Friday. I didn't want the guy. Just a Monday. I tried for the guy. I tried. And it was strategic. Yeah, for the weekend. I did what I could. They said no. So yesterday, I was there again. From about 1 o'clock till about 4 something, waiting for the district commander to come and the investigator in charge of the case to come, said that, you know, you have taught him a lesson. At least Wadaho, some look. It's not a nice thing. I mean, as I stood at the counter back and saw him behind the cells, they are taking off everything. He was just in his boxer shorts, and he had become sober. He had become very sober. And what happened? They were quarreling over things, over their son and everything. And the wife alleges that the husband slapped her. And then, the reason I'm telling you the story is that their son, a young boy, got angry about what was going on. He went to the defense of his mother. So he went to hook the father's. Yeah. Yeah. "I won't allow you to beat my mother," and everything. So they are watching. They are watching. They are watching. So the home they grew in, the picture and the image that they have of marriage is abuse. So this boy will grow up and become a man, and the only picture he saw. And do you know that people who suffer abuse sometimes end up becoming perpetrators of the same abuse? That's what often happens. So they grow up, and consciously or unconsciously, they begin to feel that that is the way a man should treat a woman. That imesiafono wano yayao. So, if they start their thing, what must you do? You must beat them. Yeah. And finally, let him out. I have to sign the bail form. An implication of that thing is that if they go to court and he doesn't show up, oh, yeah, I'm a coward. You guys, you don't have any idea about what we as pastors go through. And even this one, it's not like it's even a church member. It's a neighbor. He has never stepped into the church once. All the time I was there. And even since we came here. Why did I do what I did? That's what it is. I'm explaining something to you. Where if you don't intentionally instill certain family values into the next generation, that generation will suffer. I'm talking about positively influencing the next generation. And this thing that I'm saying to you, most of us, it doesn't even occur to us that as we are there, as we have people under our influence, our own children, our workers, apprentices, those living, we don't have any idea that God is looking to us to positively influence them. Let's talk about financial values. Financial values. Look, do you know that there are homes where they teach their children how to save? Yes. So even as they are little, they have saving susu boxes. They are taught to budget, to invest, to avoid unnecessary debt. So they grow up with that thing. There are some other homes. Every time somebody is chasing your father or your mother, the cocoa seller is after your mother. The banku seller, the watches seller, the landlord, the landlady. So every time, look, you will grow up in a house like that and you will begin to feel that a cardie is normal. Always buying things on credit. Would the car, even would the pure water car? Yeah. You are always telling your children to go and lie and say that you are not there. You are not there. Then day two, when they go, they will say that my father said I should come and tell you that I am not there. Yes. Children are great, aren't they? Integrity. That's an area where we can positively influence the next generation. Integrity simply means choosing what is right over what is easy or popular. Choosing what is right over what is easy or popular. So like, there are homes where people are taught, speak the truth. Don't tell lies. Whatever it is, tell me. Do you see? Then there are some parents also, because they are not fair, the children now end up learning how to tell lies. So, it's an act and balance thing. But there are homes where they are taught, speak the truth, avoid lies. There are homes where children are taught, keep your promises. You told him that you will give him this book, give it to him. There are homes where children are taught, do not cheat. Do not pay bribes. These are things that are taught. It's about integrity. And it's possible to influence the people that God brings to you positively by imparting lessons on integrity to them. If you don't, they will grow up and become akpachemi. I read somewhere, I mean, I don't know whether it's true or not, the son of a policeman. I read it somewhere, please. I don't know where that is. And they are very correct police people. I met a couple of them. They gave him his report card from school. And he didn't do well. And he knew that the beatings that he was going to get, it will not be easy for him. So when he got home, and his father was demanding for his report card, he took 20 Ghana cedis, put it inside the report card, and gave it to the father. Because he has seen that the man on the road, that's what happens all the time. The people commit crimes and they give money and they put it away. Yes. Or bribe. No, papa. Ma wan brun. Watch it though. Then you see that thing where when we are arrested, we try to bribe the police and all of that. I am guilty of that. Yeah. Some time ago, not now. So in order to avoid all these compromises, you try and do the right thing. That's all. But you see, every time you are doing, so as you are driving, you are crossing the red light. You are driving without a driver's license. Driving without a driver's license. And your children know. And it's just that sometimes the police people look at your nice face and then what by best so pay so that they will let you go. Do you see? But the children are watching. They are watching. So you don't realize that you are telling them that when you break the law, there is a way. There is a way you can maneuver around the consequences or the consequences of the law that you broke. What I'm saying, am I bringing it home to you? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Yeah. Influencing the next generation positively. There are so many different areas that I can talk about. But I think it's a very important subject. So I should just do what I have to do. Look, take something like church leadership. Church leadership. It is positive for it is important that one generation should positively influence the next one where the leadership of the church is concerned. Take the mainstream churches, the established churches, some of them Pentecostal and everything. If you take, for example, the Presby Church, it is the oldest church in Ghana. Did you know that? Yeah, it's older than the Catholic Church. In Ghana, I mean. The Presby Church is 198 years old in Ghana. The Catholic Church is 148. The Methodist Church is 191 years old in Ghana. Anglican Church, 117. Assemblies of God, 95. Theo, is it correct? 95. The Apostolic Church, 91. The Church of Pentecost, 73. Yeah. All these churches that I have mentioned, you can see how one generation has positively influenced the next in raising more pastors, more leaders, mentoring the younger people. And one very critical area is how leadership moves from one generation to the other. It is seamless often. There are no quarrels, no gunshots. No gunshots. Nothing like that. That's church leadership.
compare that with our people, the charismatic churches. Most of, in fact, what you see with the older charismatic churches is that when the founders die, there's total confusion. Because they did not put things in place that will allow leadership to pass on seamlessly to the next generation. And then for those of us who are founders of churches and are alive, the test case will always be, when the founders are gone, what's going to happen? You see, these mainstream or mainline churches, they run and operate by constitutions. They never put the constitution aside. Now, take my people. We have constitutions, though, but we don't run with the constitutions. The constitution spells out who is supposed, the succession, who is supposed to take over the leadership of the church when the founder is not there. We put it aside. Or sometimes we amend it because you want a family member to take over. It's like a supermarket. It's the other time, one politician left some parts of the forest of Ghana as an inheritance for his children and his children's children. I'm talking about church leadership. When things are not done in a certain way, and where we don't positively influence the next generation. And let me say to all of you who occupy leadership position in this church, you are head of a department, you're a pastor, you're a leader in one of the departments, assistant leader, and what have you. Look, let me tell you, what that role and that responsibility that has been given to you, it comes with very dire consequences. And the expectation is that in that position, you should influence the people under you, and usually the younger ones. You must influence them positively. By your words, by your example, by your attitude, and what have you. So don't treat that position that you have been given lightly. Because it is an opportunity to influence some life positively. So set good examples. Set good examples of how to talk to people. Set good examples of how to respond to authority. Set good examples with things like when you come to time, your cooperation, your compliance, your sacrifice, your love, your kindness, your gentleness, the way you do the work of God with passion and with zeal. All these things help to influence positively the people who are under you. I'm telling you. And I'm going to talk about different areas. And don't forget what I'm talking about. I'm talking about influencing the next generation positively. Like another area, culture. There are good traditions that one generation has successfully passed on to the next. How were we brought up? To respect the elderly. That's how we were brought up. We were brought up to respect the elderly. We were brought up to do certain things. We were brought up to, you know, sometimes, look, when I was little, my father didn't want us to always be going to the neighbor's house, going to eat and do all those things. If he comes home, my father died early when I was 10 years old. But before he died, I received quite a few beatings. If he comes home and we are not there, it's not easy for us. So there are things, cultural things, that one generation has passed on.
I saw a Facebook post. Somebody was complaining that we are losing our culture. Why? Because he saw a man. He had gone to buy kose. And after eating the kose, he went to wash his hands. Is the kose we are when we run start? Was it for you too? How can you eat kose? Then when you finish, you have gone to wash your hands. No, angwano. It's or there. As if utrim. That one is also a culture. It is a culture. Missy is a culture. There.
And it goes on and on and on. Look, remember that I told you at the beginning that what I'm sharing with you, I'm believing God that it will give rise to a revolution. Because the question that I want you to ask yourself is that what legacy would I leave behind? Some of you listening to me are young. Some of you are old. But everybody has somebody that you can influence on at your level. So what if, God forbid, you drop dead tonight? What's your legacy? Which life have you been able to impact? What change have you made in somebody's life? Or for you, the only thing we can say about you is that you were here some. You were here some. A baby. You were here some. That's the only legacy that you left. Please. That's what I will call a wasted life. So as you move through life, there's an opportunity for you to influence another generation positively. Don't think about very big, huge things in little, little ways. There's a little boy in your neighborhood. You can help that boy and influence him positively. The people who work for you in your shop. It's not just about giving them things to do, but you must influence their lives positively. Get into their lives. Get to know what is going on with them. Some of the people, you should advise them, hey, you have to go back to school. I will help you. You are intelligent. You are brilliant. Don't allow the circumstances you grew up in to redefine your life, your future, your destiny. I will help you. Is there anybody like that you can point to? Or you are in the church. There are few people who have been put under you. What can you do to make their lives better? What can you do to influence them in a positive way? Don't just live your life there, only thinking about yourself. And I pray that what you've heard today, and I'll continue with it next week, will really set you thinking. Thinking very deeply that Charlie, this life that I'm living, I'm influencing people, but it's either positively or negatively. So I must be intentional about a lot of the things that I do. I pray that the Spirit of God will help us, and that revolution that I'm talking about will actually take place. And remember, I talked about church, how things move on from one generation to another generation. What are we doing to make sure that this church outlives us? What are we personally doing? And every one of you has a role to play. By serving, by inviting people to church, by helping to win souls, by helping to disciple them. That's influencing somebody positively. And that's something all of us can do. We're just going to sit back and watch things decline and go down and down and down. What a tragedy that will be. May the Spirit of the Lord help us to do the right thing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'll continue next week. Rise to your feet. Let us pray.
We just have a few minutes to close. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will help us and equip us. Help us to always have at the back of our minds that there are opportunities that you, God, bring our way. Opportunities for us to positively influence somebody's life and in that way influence the next generation positively. I pray, oh God, that you will deliver us from a wasted life, a life that is just spent without making much out of it and without influencing anybody. Take us away from a purposeless life to a very purposeful life, full of impact, full of influence, full of helping others to become better people in life. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here today. You don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you want to give your heart to Jesus. Somebody invited you to church. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I'll be very glad to pray with you. Or perhaps you're watching us right now. Thank you for joining in this live broadcast. Or maybe you're watching the clip much later. But hey, you need Jesus. That's the truth. And everywhere you turn and pass, there's one irrefutable fact that stares you in the face, that you need to surrender your life to Jesus. The Bible says today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I want to pray with you. You want to give your heart to Jesus wherever you are, whether in person here or watching virtually. Can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you? God bless you. Lift up your right hand. Let me pray with you wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I will serve you. I will follow you. Make something beautiful out of my life. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.